Hello?
Hello, wait a sec. I'm in the other room.
Okay. I'm here. What's up, Matt?
Not much. Looks like your convention was fun. I loved the Bride of Frankenstein outfit. Is that your girlfriend that had that?
Yeah, my girlfriend Nicole made a Bride of Frankenstein. She didn't place in the competition, but I think she, for next year, she wants to do Dead by Daylight.
Oh, sure.
And she wants me to join her and be the trapper. So we'll see how that goes. But everybody, happy Halloween. We've got Matt Bradley Sergi here from the sequel cast. He has come back to join us once again here on Uwe Boll Raw. Movie reviews. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And today, what is the film that we're reviewing?
We are looking at Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yes, yes. A classic film. I'm a big Kiss fan. Matt here, not so much, but I think that he enjoyed the film.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike them. I'm trying to think. I first ran into Kiss or was exposed to their music and what they were when they showed up at the end of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. So.
But the problem with that is that was during their the period without the makeup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they do. With this, the big number they performed is a cover, which I didn't realize until recently. God Gave Rock and Roll to You. So it's not
God
like...
Gave Rock and Roll to You 2.
2, correct, yes. So, and, you know, their version is more with the heavy metal guitars and all that. And but otherwise, I mean, I think...
Yeah, well, that's a good... I think Revenge is a very good album. Uh-huh. I mean, I know that this is a review in a review.
Yeah.
And that song is on Revenge. Revenge had a couple songs written by Vinnie Vincent, who is no longer in the band, but was a part of the band's resurgence because of movies like this. Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park kind of damaged Kiss's MO and their reputation at the end of the 70s. Made them seem more cheesy. And for a long time... you weren't allowed to mention this film in front of the band. They forbade it backstage. They were very embarrassed of this until recently. They've come to kind of embrace it and realize it's kitsch and it has its own little category. And they've even created a t-shirt for it that I bought from their web shop.
Okay. I mean, yeah, Kiss loves their merch. So if they are willing to have this movie referenced in one of their t-shirts or whatnot, that shows time heals all wounds, sort of. Go on.
The plot of the film. Let's see. We'll start with it was filmed at Six Flags Magic Mountain in California. So it's at a real theme park. And it starts with this kind of like inventor, Devereaux, right? Played by the guy from Star Trek, Anthony Zerba, right?
Yeah, yep.
Well, what did he play in Star Trek again?
He was at least, I don't know why I think it's in two of the movies. It might just be one. It was Star Trek Insurrection. He was an admiral.
Yes.
He was kind of a bad guy. And he was also one of the counselors in the two Matrix sequels, Reloaded.
He was in Matrix. I forgot about that. So he's like a big star. I heard he was very pissed about being in this film with Kiss. He was very embarrassed, and he didn't treat them very well on the set.
Well, but I mean, I think with Kiss, I mean, they had been on TV before. There was the infamous Paul Lynde Halloween special and so forth. But I mean, to have them be, I wouldn't even call them the leads of their own movie, really. But they have a lot of heavy lifting to do, and it's
and they can barely act.
They can barely act, It, I mean, I think in the action stuff that works okay, and we'll get into that later, but it's Anthony Zerbe, I think, is trying to play it absolutely 100% serious as this kind of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein park engineer thing. I mean, this is kind of the original Five Nights at Freddy's in a way with these killer animatronics, but it's, yeah, I don't, it's a very strange film. It's cool that they filmed some actual concert footage and that they did Six Flags Magic Mountain. Have you ever been to that theme park?
That's the one that they filmed Beverly Hills Cop 3 at.
Oh, okay.
So I have been there. Last time I was there was like 94, 95, I want to say. They used to have a RoboCop ride.
Huh. Yeah,
it was I've
been to Six Flags in Atlanta when I was growing up around there, and we had a Batman ride where it's one of those you might know the name of it, but it's the roller coasters where you are kind of suspended from it from below, so it kind of goes over your shoulders and they lock you in.
Yes, that's terrifying, man. You've been on that?
I don't like roller coasters, so no. But I there's a local, well, this is appropriate for Halloween, I guess, but yeah, when the Batman ride came out, you know, it was huge lines and it was around Batman Forever came out, all that stuff. And this roller coaster, this kid was on it. And during one of the loop to loops, he lost his hat. And so he decided he was going to sneak over the gate to get his hat. And he timed it wrong and got decapitated.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I think that's fucking crazy, man.
It is. They did shut down the ride eventually, but it was up and running pretty soon because it was a popular attraction. I thought they would have, maybe they made the fence a bit higher or something, but it's, yeah. So if you lose your hat, don't go and try and get it. I mean, now with people's phones and stuff, I don't know if they just wear shorts with zippers or what you do.
Honestly, because I live here in the parks, I've heard stories of people going on the VelociCoaster and they're supposed to empty out their pockets, but a lot of people are idiots and they don't. Mm. And then the shit goes flying at a crazy speed onto the people below. So there's been some injuries, you know, people need to follow the rules because those things are there for a reason, my friends.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, it's Kiss meets Phantom of the Park.
Back to the plot. The really awesome plot. So he has Devereaux has these like animatronic creations that he just loves, and they're really just, it's like trauma level effects where they're like just people kind of pretending to be robots and moving a little bit stiffly or something. And meanwhile, there's a gang of three punks who are the embodiment of 70s angst. And for some reason, they like Devereaux gives them passes to one of the like haunted mansions so he can take them and kidnap them and turn them into robots themselves by placing this chip on their necks, right?
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like the setup is a little convoluted, but they do, these people, when they sneak into the park, it does get some kind of a payoff. And what this really reminded me of was Westworld.
And
that came out in 73, you know, 5 years before this, but it's kind of a similar thing. Not that the animatronics in the park are designed to kill people in this or whatever, but it's still a similar sort of theme, and having the kids sneak in the beginning, I think it's a good opening because you don't go right to Kiss. And maybe Kiss just didn't want to be filmed that much for this movie. I don't really know. Or maybe they were arguing at the time, or they've had a lot of different members throughout the years, but is this,
well, there was a lot of problems during the shoot of this movie. If you look very carefully, Ace Frehley, when they're by the pool, when they're sitting in their chairs and their huge ass cloaks in the middle of summer that are obviously must have been fucking hot as hell. Hotter than hell. Get it? Anyway, but Ace Frehley is actually a black guy with the Star Child, no, with the Spaceman makeup on. It's not Ace Frehley because he, like, I guess he got bored, or that's what I heard, but somebody else said he was too drunk. Mm. But The Star Child is played by somebody else, and he's even dubbed by somebody else. Same thing with Peter Criss, except for the scene where he sings Beth in their hotel room. which yes. shows, I mean, they just randomly break out into Beth. There's no audience there. Like, well, it's pretty funny.
I mean, there is expectation, you know, Kiss has their big following and that it's going to have some of their hits in here. They are going to perform a song, but.
Well, they played the song Christine 16 mm. in the background when Melissa, the girlfriend of Sam, who goes missing in the film, they played that song in the background. And then they had a whole scene, part of the scene where two guys are kind of checking her out. It's really cheesy, super corny, but they stuffed a couple Kiss songs in there. But yeah, we were talking about the Italian version, right? Has more
right.
Kiss.
Yeah, because the score on this from Hoyt Curtin is a bit cartoony, and he was known as the musical director for Hanna-Barbera. And I mean, this whole thing does have a, I think maybe the writers might have done some Scooby-Doo stuff, I'm not really sure, but it does have that whole kind of after-school special.
It is a Scooby-Doo. It's a huge, it's just yes. like a big Scooby-Doo live action, pretty much, you know what I mean?
It is. I mean, that they film it at a real theme park, you do get production value from that. It's cool seeing the characters walk like underneath some of the roller coasters, and you get some good crowd shots when they have the concerts in the film.
And let's not forget that Kiss have superpowers in this film from their magical talismans. Each yes. one has their own talisman that's guarded in a box that's protected by a force field. And if somebody was to take said talisman, they would lose their powers and become normal human beings.
Now, is that something that was mythology in the band already, or they just made that up for this movie?
They just made it up for
okay.
this.
I didn't know if it was some deep cut the fans would be, oh, wow, it's the amulet. But yeah, yeah. I think you showed me, what was it, Etsy? There was a pretty good recreation some people did.
Yeah, they have handmade, fan-made talismans from this film on Etsy in a little box. I kind of, if it wasn't so much, I might even consider buying it, you know. Pretty cool. But anyway, so Devereaux is pissed at the park owner who fires him towards the beginning of the film. And he blames Kiss, and he blames the park, and he blames the park owner. And he says that he will have his revenge. So Sam goes missing. The boyfriend of Melissa, one of the many main characters, is kind of, like you said, convoluted. And Paul Stanley instantly, he's like, Sam, I know where he is. He was here. So either like Sam was like sucking off Paul Stanley, or Paul Stanley is using his super Star Child powers to determine that. But he seemed pretty sure that Sam had been there. It was a very startling moment.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused with the story how Abner, who is, you know, disgraced and fired from the cut from the company, he's able just to get back on the lot really easy and go to his lab. I guess, I mean, it is true in theme parks, they do have these subterranean kind of areas where I think at Disney World they call it cast members or something, but the people working there can kind of sneak around and not get bothered.
They used to give tours before COVID at Disney.
Oh, really?
Okay. Caverns. It was expensive, but they don't do it anymore. But yes, you're right. And in this film, it's very strange that he gets back to his lab, because they go through this whole sequence of them walking him to the very edge of the parking lot once he's mm-hmm. fired. You know, like
yep, getting escorted off the premises, and
he gets pissed. Yeah. He gets back in. He makes an animatronic Gene Simmons, who goes on a rampage against the security guards.
Yeah, and you have a lot of the sort of like Transformer vocoder effects on the voice of the evil version of the Kiss characters.
Yeah.
Which I guess otherwise, you know, how can you really tell that they're different? You know, they're fighting against stuntmen, or maybe it's just all stuntmen fighting each other, all and two of them.
Kiss gets accused of the attack, and yes. when they're by the pool, and they deny it, and everything gets smoothed over, and they are going to do their concert, but Kiss get swapped out for an evil version of Kiss, and they sing a song called Rip and Destroy. Now, Rip and Destroy is another one of their songs with slightly changed lyrics, and it's pretty corny. It's intended to make the crowd go wild and create a riot and rip up the park and destroy it. Let's see, what are the lyrics? It says, "It's time for everyone to listen good. We're taking all we can stand. You've got the power to rip down these walls. It's in the palm of your hand. Rip, rip, rip and destroy." So instead of hotter than hell, it's rip and destroy. You know, the hour's getting late. Rip, rip, rip and destroy. Break it down and seal your fate. This song is not on any record, official record, but I've run into it on some bootlegs, which is very interesting.
And it looks like, what, in the States, this was a TV movie? And then, but it was theatrically in some countries.
Yes, like we were saying, in Italy, they changed the soundtrack for Italy, and they released it in the theater, like you said, in Italy, which is fucking weird, because it's like you said, it's like a Hanna-Barbera TV of the movie, TV movie of the week quality.
Yeah, and did you see this first like on a bootleg, or did you see it on? I doubt you would have seen it on TV at the time, but
oh, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. let me see. First time I saw it was probably a bootleg. Oh no, what it was this. I was living on my sister's couch while she was in college in her 20s, and her boyfriend at the time did like a dissertation report on this film and claimed it as the bane of his existence.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So we had a copy of it in the house on VHS, and that's how I watched it. Pretty fucking weird movie. I mean, I don't know. I think it's worth seeing. I think this film is definitely worth seeing. Even though it is corny, it is fun. And you yourself have said you've seen worse, right?
I absolutely have seen worse. I mean, this is better than some of the Highlander sequels, although that's not saying much. Or some of the Crow sequels and stuff like that. But it's, yeah, this Kiss Meets Phantom of the Park. It's fun for what it is. I think it knows what it's trying to do. It doesn't try to get pretentious, which I appreciate. The only exception to that is at the end here, you have Abner is kind of, it tries to do this tragic ending with him in a kind of coma of sorts. And it does this like dramatic flashback to him walking through the park, getting escorted off the campus and all that stuff. And it doesn't, you know, clearly he worked on his character a lot, even if he didn't have fun making this movie. And he's good at the control room barking commands, and he's a good bad guy. But that so much of the story focuses on him, I think that makes it kind of a drag in some places.
Yeah, it does have some pacing issues, that's for sure. But anyway, guys, happy Halloween, and be sure to check out the sequel cast and friends. Where can we find the sequel cast, Matt?
Yeah, you can find it at sequelcast2.com. Right now we're wrapping up looking at the first few Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise. And coming soon, we'll be looking at the three Fletch movies. That's the two with Chevy Chase and one with, John Hamm, the one that just came out and made, like, no money.
Yeah, it came out at the wrong time.
It didn't. It had been so long. I mean, but anyhow, yeah.
It was still under COVID lockdown when it came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they actually filmed it in Italy. I mean, they spent a lot of money for what could have been a much cheaper picture. But it's... you know, it's good. It's more like the books, but they were trying to make Fletch Kevin Smith was trying to do it with Jason Lee and Zach Braff and all these people years ago. So anyhow, yep, sequelcast2.com.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll have more movie reviews with Uwe himself in the future here on Uwe Ball Raw. I know he did one recently. Sometimes I've got to like twist his arm a little bit to get him to record it, but we will have more, my friends, I promise. So anyway, guys, be sure to tune in next time, and we will see you then. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Bye, Matt.
Bye.
Take care.